Haha, what's going on,
Blog
guys?
Talk Radio.
What's going on, guys? This is Andre Peterson. I am getting ready to get started on my first show, actually. Let's go ahead and grab a call, see if Rob is able to join us right about now. I think Rob is in as well. Rob Ford, are you able to log in yet, Rob? We'll see if we can get Rob going in here as well. So we'll get him logged in as well, and we'll get started with our first talk. So stand by here. We'll get everybody going pretty soon here. Can you hear me, Rob? Rob Ford. Give me a quick second here. This is kind of the first. This is why we did this first test to make sure everything is going on without any hitches here. So we'll get everything going. So. Rob Ford, are you on?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Rob is on. This is good stuff. Can you see? Are you logged into a computer? Or you're just kind of on the phone at this juncture.
I'm just on the phone right now. Where
okay,
do I need
okay,
to go on the computer?
That's fine. I mean, we'll do it later on. It's at blogtalkradio.com.
Okay.
And this is kind of the first, like, this is kind of a test run to see how everything plays out. But if everything goes good, you know, obviously we can tweet this and we can have callers call in and have some fun, you know, via Skype and different things, have a chat room, play some music,
okay.
You know, kind of like a full podcast. So this is kind of a test, actually, which is why once that just played out. So yeah, let me know what you get there. It's just blogtalkradio.com, actually.
Okay, I'm on the website. Mm-hmm.
All right. You should see there's your show. It's called NFL Talk. It's by Andre Peterson in sports. I don't know if you can look it up by the name of the show or not.
Put it up by on air, or do I need to do a search?
Do on air. See what pops up for on air.
Let's see.
Believe it or not, this is actually recording, so it'll be kind of our first one. But we'll get getting going as the next show lines up and stuff like that too. And I'll probably send you a kind of an overview of the topics we're going to go over and little things like that too. So.
Yeah, I haven't found it yet. They got a 1,471 show we're going on right now.
Are you serious? Okay. Let's see here. Let's try. I'm going to try this real quick. I'm going to try, can you do it by category, like in sports?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do now, putting up sports.
Okay, and then it should say, it's just NFL Talk. I should have probably did something a bit more detailed, but. And hopefully it'll tag it. I got it tagged like NFL, mock draft,
yeah.
Free agency, franchise QBs. stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
because
there's 129 sports shows going on right now.
That's all right. All right, I guess we'll just play it later then. What is your...
Okay, NFL your talk. Okay, I see it now.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to email you the little link, but... this is pretty neat. Wish I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I see you're in the chat room as well.
I have it pulled up on my website.
Oh, cool.
I mean, on the computer, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so I guess I am in the chat room.
There you go. All right, good deal. All right, well, first and foremost, for those that are joining the show, I'd like to give a quick little overview about the people that are hosting. You know, obviously, just a quick little background on me and, you know, Robin and Russell put up for you, too, but if you want to add your own little thing, that's totally fine. I'm originally from up north, from Indianapolis, Indiana. Lived in Atlanta for almost 20 years now. A big-time fan of the Falcons, also Georgia Tech. Being my favorite college team, and pretty much all the Atlanta teams. Robert Ford, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind.
Well, I'm originally from New Orleans. Also lived in Atlanta for about 16 years. Been back in New Orleans for about 3 years. I'm a huge fan of the New Orleans Saints, Andre's arch rival team. he's a big fan of the Falcons, as he mentioned. College football, huge LSU fan. And I guess if we're talking basketball, I'll be a Hornets fan. So pretty much New Orleans, Louisiana is all my favorite teams.
Yeah, you left out the North Carolina Tar Heels, which is pretty ironic, and we'll get to that a little later, how that came in to be one of your favorite teams. But definitely ironic that we're both fans of rival teams as far as NFL, if you will. But that's okay. What makes it kind of fun, obviously, moving forward. We're going to delve into, first and foremost, we don't have too much time just getting set up, but we're going to delve into the mock drafts, and I know Robert always does a great job. I give him a hard time, but does an excellent job of putting his mock drafts together. Now, we're not going to go through all the rounds. I'd probably say with the first round, if you will, Rob, starting out, but and it changes, obviously, but I think it's pretty cool, so I don't know if you want to talk about the very first one you did or kind of like your revised one you're talking about, or kind of tell me where you want to go, and we'll go from there.
Well, we can talk a little bit about both. I mean, obviously, I did a first-round mock draft back in February right after the Super Bowl. And obviously, a lot has changed since then with combines and pro days and individual team workouts. So I have a revised first-round mock draft that should be hitting online here in the next week or so. And you know, some changes, of course. Back in February, I had Carolina taking Nick Fairley number one, but now I have him taking Cam Newton number one. And Nick Fairley, believe it or not, I have him going, dropping all the way down to number nine, Dallas.
Wow.
And in my latest mock draft, which you don't see online just yet, some highlights of that mock draft. Top five, I have Denver taking Marcell Dareus. Buffalo,
wow.
Von Miller, Cincinnati, A.J. Green, and Arizona taking Blaine Gabbert. And I guess some highlights, since we're both Saints and Falcons fans here. I mean, I have the Saints at 24 taking Adrian Claiborne, and the Falcons taking Akeem Ayers, outside linebacker, UCLA. Some other marquee players, I have Patrick Peterson going to San Fran at number 7. Julio Jones going number 10 to Washington.
Okay.
Daquan Bowers, 13 to Detroit. Mark Ingram, 15 to Miami. And just to highlight some of the marquee players in the first round. So I don't know if you have any questions about that or want a little bit more specifics than what I just mentioned of what might interest you or other callers.
Yeah, and I like that, too, because I think the first time we talked about the draft, the whole mock draft process, you said that you faced, you basically put this draft together like you were the GM, which is a pretty good way how to equate the talent, if you will. But I'm looking at the very first one, and it's just to show how a lot of things change. You had Daquan Bowers, defensive end of Clemson, going number two. And this is before his workout, which obviously he had to work out, and his knee wasn't, I don't think he was fully healed. And they're talking about he's going to drop, from what I heard today, even like out of the first round. So that's the purpose of the mock draft. No one really knows what's going to go on after the workouts, after the combines and stuff like that too. So it's a very interesting change, obviously.
As of now, I personally don't think he's going to drop out of the first round. I think teams are going to look at his tape and still going to be awed by his tape. But definitely there are some concerns. I don't think he's definitely probably going to fall out of the top 10, but I can't see him totally falling out of the first round. Right now I have him going 13. I can see him maybe at worst going 20. But right now I see the Detroit Lions taking him at 13 and trying to build a dominant defensive line with the Ndamukong Suh.
Okay. I mean, like I said, that was just something that, they were talking about. I was in the sports talk coming home here in Atlanta, and they were talking about how he may have to go under microsurgery. So that's kind of the whole thing, how some people, and like you said, it depends on what the scouts say. One scout may say this, one scout may say that. So you definitely never know if somebody's, this is a steal at getting this guy at this particular, number 13 or something like that. That would be an actual steal for Detroit if they actually land him at that particular number. So, good points as well.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz, defensive-minded coach, defensive background. If you can get a player like that, the team with Ndamukong Suh, they could be building a pretty formidable defensive line.
And I guess we can stop talking about the line if they actually start playing well. So they used to be like the laughing stock, but if they start doing well, that was definitely not going to be the case moving forward.
They're not picking in the top five this year, so they did show some improvements. And maybe if they get a healthy Matthew Stafford, improved Brandon Pettigrew, and you could see that team slowly creeping up. I don't know if I would say they'll be a playoff team next year, but, they have some good young players on that team.
Yeah, I definitely concur. So you brought up two things I want to talk about at some point. You don't have to answer these now, but one question that I had was that you were saying now that Cam Newton can possibly go number one with the newer revised mock draft. And the question that I had is, do you think that there's a franchise quarterback in the 2011 draft? And I'm going to second pace that, too, to hold that first thought as you answer that. Because we're going to ask, who do you think is going to have a better career between Blaine Gabbert or Cam Newton and then Ryan Mallett and Jake Locker? So go ahead and answer the first question, tell me what you think about that, and then we'll address the second part.
Well, I think Blaine Gabbert is the most proven quarterback in the draft. I think he's a guy that could probably come in and play right away. And I don't think he's Sam Bradford, but he may be, just a slight grade less than Sam Bradford. So I think he's probably the most ready QB in this draft. I think Cam Newton might have the most potential of any QB in his draft. So I guess for a GM standpoint, you have to weigh that, do you need a guy to come in and play right away, or do you want to have a guy that you think can develop into a superstar? And I think Carolina may be awed by Cam Newton's physical tools, in hopes that they can probably coach him into being a very solid passer. But throwing the football, Gabbert, of course, is the more ready NFL quarterback. But I think Carolina may take their chances with trying to get hit a home run, not only on the field, but somebody that can sell tickets in the box office. Carolina didn't really sell out all the games last year. You bring in a Cam Newton, that automatically just, builds some excitement around the franchise.
Now, real quick,
not a good thing for us. We both have both of our favorite teams are in the NFC South. We have to face Cam Newton twice a year.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think he's going to have some growing pains, obviously. Obviously, Peyton Manning came out probably the most ready NFL quarterback in his time, and he had, 19, 20 interceptions when he first came into the league. So.
Yeah.
But Robert, real quick, I'm getting a 10-second thing. I'm going to have you call back in, I think, because I think it's something with the caller thing. So call back on that number, We'll get you back on. We'll answer the second part of the question real quick until we get kind of squared away for the hosting of the show. So, yeah, but anyway, as Robert gets back to call back in, yeah, just kind of secondary following up on what he was talking about, too. Yeah, us being big fans of both teams, being the Falcons and the Saints, we don't really want to see another young, dynamic quarterback. I'm sure Jimmy Clausen didn't put the fear of God in any of us, but, you know, obviously with Cam there, there is going to be some time for him to grow into that role if Carolina goes that route. It's kind of unfortunate because Carolina only has, you know, their first round pick, the number one pick overall, and they don't have that pick again until the third round. So they obviously traded up, or they actually made a trade with the New England Patriots, but they don't have a second round pick. So you've heard from a lot of people that Carolina has so many needs, it will be best for them to actually trade down and to try to acquire more picks or more players, if you will. I know we talked about that earlier, me and Robert, but I think the thing that we found out is that I don't think anyone, due to the collecting CBA, the lockout that's going on right now, I don't think anyone can really make any trades, if you will. And the second piece of the puzzle is that in addition to not being able to make any trades, there's too many things going on with the teams that no one really wants to go and actually trade up to the number one pick. So, anyway, that's fine. Rob, are you back on air here real quick?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly. All right. So I was just kind of giving a quick little overview about the whole situation with Carolina, how they don't have a number, they don't have another pick until the third round, and also how just the idea of them actually, they have so many needs that, you know, due to what's going on with the lockout and the CBA, that I was thinking that no one really wants to trade up and get that number one pick. So they're kind of in a unique situation at this juncture.
Yes, I definitely totally agree there. I mean, Carolina does have several needs, but one of the number one needs is still quarterback.
Yep.
And I mean, personally, I didn't see anything out of Jimmy Clausen last year. To think that he is going to be a future NFL starting quarterback. I mean, so you have to. I mean, even though he was a rookie, you would have liked to have seen some improvement throughout the year. And I don't think any of us saw that. So you have to list quarterback as still being the main option. I mean, Carolina has major needs along their defensive line. I mean, they both need any defensive tackles and defensive ends to improve that defensive line. And but quarterback is definitely right up there as far as what Carolina needs. So I think, you know, with the lockout, you know, it's going to be so hard to trade down where there's so much uncertainty right now. And you know, if you have the opportunity to take a franchise quarterback, that's still the most important position on the football field. And if you have a quarterback and a defensive lineman with the same grade and the quarterback is a need, then, yeah, you pretty much have to take the quarterback.
Nice. I'm going to throw a curveball at you. So we know that Tennessee is pretty much not happy with Vince Young. You think that could be a possible destination of Vince Young possibly going to Carolina? And that's kind of like wow, you know, and then them maybe going, like you talked about, going defense, if you will, or thinking the best player available at that juncture, or what?
Yeah, I could see Vince Young winding up in that situation. I can see him winding up in Buffalo, a team like that. I could see him possibly winding up in San Francisco.
Wow.
Chan Gailey is very intriguing because, you know, he did run the spread a little bit in college. And that could be a very intriguing destination for Vince Young to go with Buffalo. I mean, this is not a rumor. I haven't heard this or anything like that. This is just me talking, thinking that could be, you know, a very intriguing destination for Vince Young.
I like that. I mean, like I said, just totally something that, you know, we don't have any type of any rumors that we've heard about either, but, you know, I was just thinking that it may be an option, too, because, you know, if you're Carolina, it's kind of tough. You know, we're not to be focusing on them, obviously, because we got a lot of teams to talk about. But, you know, if you're Carolina and you're in that situation, you know, as a GM, it's tough to say, all right, I've already got a young quarterback in Jimmy Clausen. I may not really want to go with another young quarterback. You know, obviously Cam is extremely talented. He's a winner. But you may not, you know, may not want to go that route unless you're like, hey, I'm going to go in all the way, or there's something this guy has that, you know, that's going to take us to the next level or get us growing in that right direction. So, you know, I was just thinking either, like you said, making a trade for a veteran out there or something like that, that may be something that they may look at as well, too. So you definitely never know because they hold the cards at this juncture.
Exactly. Yeah, and once again, that's the uncertainty with the lockout where you can't make any trades right now. So that's that's still, you know, normally you would be able to make free agency moves and trades and but this particular draft, you almost have to approach it like, you know, you don't know if you're going to be able to make that trade. You don't know if you're going to be able to sign that free agent. So if you have guys that are graded at the same position, you're pretty much going to have to go for your need because you weren't able to fill those needs in free agency or through trades this year. And so, I mean, I guess a lot of teams are going to be approaching the draft a little different this year. I mean, because there are guys like Kevin Cobb, there's guys like Vince Young that's probably going to be traded, but, you know, we just don't know where. And and there are a lot of teams out there that may have interest in those guys, but, you know, they can't really make the call or go ahead and secure a deal, so they won't have to worry about a QB in the draft. So now they almost have to go into the draft thinking QB as opposed to free agency or trade.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because, you know, definitely watching the NFL Network, and then I had a rumor, or I had a rumor about Philadelphia was actually dangling Kevin Cobb to for the number three pick with Buffalo, and obviously Buffalo was definitely, as you had in your mock draft, they were targeting Patrick Peterson. So that's a situation where the rich get richer, but if you're Buffalo, you're kind of knocking out two birds with one stone because you're like, all right, I need a quarterback. They've got some young, talented wide receivers, I think, there. And they definitely need more defense, but that's the case. You know, if I'm Carolina, I'm thinking, hey, how come I can't get into that conversation? But, you know, like you said, a lot of things, a lot of uncertainty with what's going on with the lockout and vice versa. So it's just a tough time, you know, like you said.
And I'm assuming these teams can make a handshake trade. But, you know, they probably, in other words, Buffalo could pick for Philadelphia with a handshake trade agreement. And so I'm assuming that can be possible. But it probably won't be official until the lockout is over. But I'm assuming these teams are allowed to do some kind of handshake deals until the lockout is over. So, I mean, that could be a possibility to where these teams could – Buffalo could be drafting for Philadelphia with the assumption that Buffalo will get Kevin Cobb as a result of that pick.
Gotcha,
yeah,
gotcha.
But I would agree that definitely should be something that Carolina should be looking at too.
If you're really trying to hold the cards off to the vest and say, well, I don't really know what I'm doing. So, but like you said, you've got the number one pick. You've got a lot of different directions you can go, and as we mentioned before, they don't have another pick until the third round. So if there's a way for them to acquire another pick or something, you would think that I'd try to be a player with either, you know, them or the Patriots or whoever needs, you know, whatever I can do to try to acquire more picks because they need a lot of different things on their team, obviously. Good stuff. So we were talking about some different things here, and, you know, I don't think we answered the question if we think there's a franchise quarterback in the 2011 draft. I mean, we think that Blaine Gabbert is probably the closest to being a proven quarterback. And I'm going to go back in time because I remember a couple of years ago we had a conversation who was going to be a better pro. And it's kind of early, obviously, but, you know, who was going to be better at the time. We had, you mentioned Matt Stafford with the Lions and Mark Sanchez with the Jets. And it's pretty interesting because the book is still open on Matt Stafford because he's been injured, obviously. And if you're Detroit, you know, are you kind of concerned about his injuries, or are you thinking, okay, should I get some more depth? Should I maybe get like a more of a veteran quarterback here, or is Sean Hill the guy? Or I wonder what's going on in their world. Are they just going to become like the Ravens have just become like this massively great defensive team. So, kind of curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, going back to that draft, Stafford and Sanchez. If you would ask 32 GMs, I would be willing to bet that 20 of them had a higher grade on Sanchez, and about
really?
12 of
okay.
them. And 12 of them maybe had a higher grade on Stafford. Detroit was just so happened to be one of the teams that I had a higher grade on Stafford. A lot of the GMs thought that Sanchez was more, had played more in a pro system, had more of the smarts, you know, to play in the West Coast or whatever type of offense you wanted to put on him. Stafford had all the physical tools. He had a strong arm, but a lot of people felt like Sanchez read defenses better than Stafford, and that he would be a better pro quarterback. And I'm not going to say Sanchez has been great, but his first 2 years he's been in two AFC championship games. Even though they both lost, he's got them knocking on the door. And Sanchez, just like you said, he's been injury prone the first 2 years. He hasn't really done much. And I think this coming season is going to be crucial for Stafford. You know, most teams, they truly grade their draft choices after 3 years. And so this will be Matthew Stafford's third season. And I think if he has another injury-plagued season or if he's has a down year, I can see Detroit almost thinking about another quarterback. But I think they're going to give him every opportunity to succeed this year in Detroit. And they're certainly hoping that he will. And so this is definitely going to be a crucial year for Stafford.
I think it's interesting, too, because, you know, I always like to flip the teams because if I'm the Jets, do you think that I'm going to be better with Stafford on that team versus the Sanchez on Detroit? Because you would have to say that the Jets have a better defense than the Lions. Now, the Lions aren't there yet. I think they're building that, but you know, if you're a Stafford, I mean, you know, this is all the what if game, if you will, but it's more or less like if you put Stafford on the Jets, I mean, you know, are they more of a vertical passing team? I mean, it's kind of an interesting question, definitely, you know?
Yes, and that's definitely a good point. Definitely Sanchez is on a better team than Stafford, so you can't put it all on Stafford. And but Sanchez, yeah, with great defense in New York, great running game. Another thing the Jets have is a great offensive line.
The Jets definitely
by far have one of the best offensive lines in the league. But Sanchez, he doesn't turn over the ball a lot. He's just one of those smart, savvy QBs. He still has a lot to learn. And I mean, he's not dynamic by any stretch of the imagination. But he, you know, he has come out, you know, and not turned over the ball in some crucial situations.
Gotcha.
He definitely keeps his team in a lot of games.
Yep, that's a good point. Well, you know what? I got to tell you, Rob, this is a great first show. We're actually almost like 2 minutes for the show to end. I was thinking we're going to have time filling. The whole 30 minutes, but you know we can keep going, obviously. But this is kind of the first show, kind of our test run. So we'll get the kinks out of the way moving forward to make sure that we'll start on time and kind of be able to fill the hour. So. Like I said, we're going to play it by ear as far as when we're going to have the show times, but that's the case. We'll probably try to come back and answer some questions a little later on. I definitely want to appreciate you, Rob, for adding your value because obviously I'm just an instigator, you know, but got a lot of insight, and I appreciate you being on the show, obviously. And as we start to get some more traction, we'll start to definitely get some callers and get some feedback and do some tweets. And we're going to post the website also as well, the 12th man at Webley.com. That's Webley.com. And the mock drafts are definitely up there for any blogs for us to kind of like comment on those as well. So definitely feel free to make some comments on that. Anything else you have, Rob? Because we probably have about 60 seconds or so to wrap up. You have anything to say about the first show, if you will, or anything?
Well, I definitely appreciate the invitation. And to anyone that may be listening out there, continue to look out for us. We're going to have some dynamic topics coming up here. NFL draft, and as soon as this lockout is over, we'll indulge in a free agency, get ready for training camp, get ready for training camp with college football as well. So stay tuned. Look out for us. 12th man is coming.
I like this stuff. We'll talk to you guys very soon. And like I said, we're going to –